Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Some of you may recall when the world of Americana changed a few years ago. It happened all across the USA and changed how everyone saw our country's culture. It was a change from something in America that had been left essentially as it had been since 1930. Now, when a people's world has been that well established, and it gets changed, you can bet they're all going to be aware of it, and they're going to wonder how it changes them. And they'll certainly have questions. Now, that's sort of like what we saw in the gospel lesson today, isn't it? After John the Baptist had preached about repentance, because God's Holy One, Jesus, had come at last to Israel, people then started asking John how repentance affected them. What were they supposed to do now that God was fulfilling his promise from long ago? How were they to live in light of this change for them? I forgot to tell you, by the way, the change that affected Americana, it was the loss of the Hostess Cookie Company. Now, I know that, you know, some people have brought back Ding Dongs and Twinkies and other names, they use the Hostess formulas. But I still find it near impossible to find those Hostess cherry fruit pies. Anyway, the point is that people get used to things in their world being the way they are. And when those things get changed for whatever reason, people are left to wonder, what has happened to my world? What's happened to their way of life? Now, the message of John the Baptist, of preparing the way for the message of the Holy One of Israel, changed the world in his day. And that change echoes down through the centuries into our day as well. With the coming of Jesus, the message of John was sent to proclaim to the world, it was this. The message that John was to proclaim was that business as usual was over. God was now doing what he had promised all along. He was coming to bring us change. Like we talked about last Wednesday night, when God remembers, God acts. God remembered his promise of a Savior for the world through John's message, and that act of God brought about change. And not just change for the sake of change, but the change that we all in this world needed. And this change was of such a magnitude that the people who heard it recognized that as a result of God acting, they had to change how they lived. Now, before we look at how the people reacted to this, take note of the fact that this change, which came with the arrival of Jesus, was a change for this world. This was not a change for God. In fact, because God doesn't change, we are saved. We are spared. And we are given new life. In the Old Testament lesson, in verse 6 from Malachi 3, God says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." Now, that's good news for us, that God doesn't change. And so we are spared from his mighty wrath on sin. We've been talking about that in our class on Revelation, and it is indeed fearsome wrath. In his holiness and his righteous judgment, we should be consumed for bringing sin, for us bringing sin into God's perfect creation. But his holy love and mercy never change, and so he spares us. And that grace and mercy, that is what changes us. Now, earlier in the same Old Testament lesson, God gives us the promise that John is telling the people today in the gospel lesson. The coming of the Savior. It says in verse 1, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. John is that messenger. And Jesus is the Lord who comes. Jesus comes to bring God's changeless love to man. In coming to the temple to Israel, Jesus in humility and in lowliness brings the righteousness of God that atones for all sin. God's unchanging holiness demands one thing, and that's perfection. And Jesus comes and lives the life of perfection in our place. One man brings sin into the world, so we're told in Romans chapter 5. And by one man, righteousness is obtained for all who will receive that which Jesus alone brings. Romans 5:18 says, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. That justification, that righteousness, is what Jesus Christ alone brings. His act of coming to us, coming as one of us, dying on the cross after having lived a perfect life and rising again, is what God knows that we needed. And that good news of Jesus come into the world to accomplish our salvation, this is what John the Baptist heralded in his preaching. Now, when you look back at the gospel lesson, I love that Luke records the specifics. He records the specifics of which people asked about how the coming of the righteous Messiah and the repentance that John said was needed, how that affected them. I love that Luke wrote down the different people's questions. It tells us that these people recognized that God was changing their world. They learn that the free gift of true righteousness from God calls for a life of repentance from us. Luther's first theses of the 95 theses that he posted on the door of the Wittenberg Castle Church says, the entire life of believers is to be one of repentance. Repentance does not earn righteousness. Rather, righteousness gives us the freedom to live out repentance in all of our life, in all of our doing, in all of our days. Listen again to the various people's questions to John, and listen to his responses. And the crowds asked him, what then shall we do? And he answered them, Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise. Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, Teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, Collect no more than you are authorized to do. Soldiers also asked him, And we, what shall we do? And he said to them, Do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages. All of these different people, featuring the tax collectors and the soldiers, who were not on the top of anyone's list to make it into heaven in those days, they all heard in John's preaching the good news that their worlds had been changed. And so now, they wanted to know how to live in this new way of repentance. Notice, by the way, that John doesn't answer them this way. Well, if you feel it in your heart, that's good enough. No, repentance calls for living life differently. And so John's advice was very practical and very much real world. We are in Advent. In Advent, we prepare for the infant Jesus having stepped into our real world of sin. Jesus took on flesh when he was born of Mary, and he bore in his flesh our sin, our shame, and our guilt. All in his perfect innocence, blessedness, and righteousness. Jesus bore our entire burden in his flesh so that we might bear his righteousness in our lives forever. Change. Change. That is what Jesus brings as he comes to us. Now, we had the joy a few weeks back of baptizing Jenica. Into her life was poured this change, this exchange of sin for holiness. In the waters of baptism comes change, just as John delivered it to those to whom he preached and baptized. So also, change was brought to Jenica and to all who've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So, yes, like we started out talking about, the world of Americana with the loss of Hostess, well, that's changed from what it was. But the superior change, the greater change for us today, the real life, real world change that comes to us with the coming of Christ is the change that brings us his new life for our old one. Let our continuing Advent preparations for his coming point us to a change in our life that frees us from living under guilt, from living under greed, from living under need. As we close, like the people in the gospel lesson, I'm going to ask some specific questions. How will the rest of Advent be different for you as you live each day in the gift of Christ's righteousness, which is yours? What sort of change will be part of each day for you as we together seek to live and encourage each other in the life of repentance that we are called to? How will you demonstrate to one another here and to your neighbor that righteousness of Christ, which now lives in you by Jesus coming to you? In his name we are changed. Amen. May the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.